Welcome to Linux for the Rest of Us, episode number 104. The show where we talk about the Linux operating system. It's so awesome. That's why we started a show about this. We love Linux here. Some more than others. Let me qualify that. I love Linux. I just don't use it as much as I should. And I seriously debated installing and dual booting from this laptop I'm on right now. So that might happen this week. We'll see. I always threaten to do something like that and usually never do. But anyway, what we do on this show is we have people on that are well-versed in Linux and like to talk about it and like to educate you guys and help you with your Linux endeavors, let you know what Linux is all about. And maybe you will want to use it and make it your main operating system or whatever. It's all about Linux. Let me introduce the two co-hosts for today, starting with the Door-to-Door Geek, Steve McLaughlin from DoorToDoorGeek.com. What's up, Door?
Hello, Steve. Just trying to figure out if 2x4s and duct tape will keep my chair from sinking. And I think it will.
You know, it's like that fail blog video of the guy on the chair where the legs just started cracking slowly and then he just wiped out.
I'm sorry, I must have missed that one.
Yeah. I hope that doesn't happen to you this show.
Oh, you and me both.
Also joining us, Cody Cooper, who is Cody Cooper on Google Plus. What's up, Cody?
Hey guys, how's it going? I'm doing good. Taking care of the son today. He's a little sick under the weather, but he's doing much better now. They got to hang out with dad instead of mom all day.
Oh, really? So is that why he's doing better?
I like to think so, and that's something I'm going to tell her.
Cool, man. I hope he starts feeling more chipper.
Oh, thanks.
No problem. All right, so I heard you prepared some nice notes for us today, Dor.
For a change, they weren't prepared 2 minutes before showtime.
All right, what do you got there?
Well, okay. First off, I got to thank Cody for, again, coming back out. For those of you that don't know, for me and Steve C right now, it is 9 p.m. at night. You know, sun went down a little bit, got done eating our dinner, this and that. My kids have been passed out for about an hour now. And Cody, can I ask what time is it for you?
It's about 6:20 right now.
Yeah, so I honestly can't thank you enough for, you know, this time of day working.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I remember podcasting when I was driving home from the shop and rushing home to get behind the mic, and it's not a lot of time in between there, is it?
No. Today I happen to have the day off, but normally what I'll do is, I'll rush home from work, grab a soda, some water, my hat, which I left in the other room, hop on here and watch live. But now I'm on this show today and then last week, and then I'm on AAA every now and then. So, but yeah, any time I can come on, I totally will. And it doesn't matter what time, as long as it works for you guys and I'm able to make it on, I will.
So you're saying you will drop everything?
I'll drop everything. I'm holding my son. Well, he's an older one. Gravity is today. He already learned that lesson, but I love the shows. I love to contribute to the shows. So yeah, anytime I can come on and contribute whatsoever, I will.
Awesome, cool. That's much appreciated.
Okay, really quick weekly Kickstarter thanks session. I'd like to thank Casey, Helena, Gary, Jeremy. And for some reason in this batch, we have a bunch of Davids. We have David D, David Z, and David B. So we have 23 more to go. Tony, I can never pronounce his last name right. It's not Kayak.
Close enough.
Close enough. Tony, Google Plus, you're the man. Post great stuff. Matthew, Kip, and I'm guessing it's Sam. S-A-Y-M. Thank you guys for helping me with the Kickstarter. Things are starting to actually set in where things are going to start happening here really soon. I'm going to start a video series here in the next 2 weeks. Week?
Do we know which one this is going to be about?
Logic dictates to me. I need to get one out of the door right now. Boom, boom, boom. The Android intro one should be a combination of the easiest to regurgitate for me the quickest video time, the quickest editing time, the shortest total video size, because this is an intro, and the lowest price for the consumer. So to me, that is a good video series to test out all the hardware and get my workflows all lined up. I don't want to, you know, test out new workflows with a big project.
So it's Android related? Like, can you any more specific? Like, is it how to root and ROM phones or what?
No. This is a basic for the new Android users. My logic is 1.3 million activations a day. There's a lot of people out there that have no idea what they're doing on their Android device. So it's going to be this is your home screen. Here's how you install applications. Here's how you review what's installed. Here's how you uninstall what's installed. Here's what you do if a application is having issues. All the fundamentals, I'll say.
Cool. Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Jumping over to the basic. Okay. I have to tell you people that I have had a tumor on the right-hand side, specifically, of my head for the last 4 years in Linux. Okay, a lot of people, when they switch over something, when they change something significant in their workflow, like operating systems, it can sometimes seem impossible to find the answer to the solution that you once had, okay? And the solution I once had on Windows is called Auto Hotkey. And what Auto Hotkey is, it's a Windows level, not application level, a Windows level automated tool. And what I mean is it had the ability to automatically record what you were doing, save it to a file so you could edit it for later, and then play back at will, either via a keystroke or a double click, a macro. And the macro could include any keystroke functions or mouse functions on an OS level, not just in Word or not just in Notepad++ or not just in Chrome, but anything in the OS. Now, the example is, I just used it, and you guys couldn't tell, okay? I just hit a keyboard combination, okay, and a series of functions went off. It posted a link in the live chat on podnuts.com/live 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It automatically posted the link to Auto Hotkey, which is the Windows version of the application.
I just went on Twitter and I see it.
Well, and it didn't only do that, yes. It also went onto Twitter, posted it there, and then using some Nightwise black magic in the mix, it also is going to get posted on Google+ within 15 minutes. There's a time lag between those two. So now, essentially, every link I talk about in the show, I can simply hit my keyboard combination, boom, 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 and have all these back processes going off. To post it on Twitter, it's actually running a command line command called Twidge. TWIDG, which that's not in the notes right now. Okay, but here's the real basic, okay? I searched for 4+ years for a Linux replacement for Auto Hotkey. Couldn't find it. And the perfect use case for me was, like, at work, I have a Windows box. As soon as I hop into my chair, I hit Windows key and number 7. And it automatically sees if Outlook is open. If Outlook is not open, it checks if Web Outlook is open. If that is not open, it launches Outlook, waits for Outlook to load, hits Control N for new message, types in my boss's name, hits Tab, goes down to the subject field, types in here, hits Tab, types in the body, I am here, and then hits Control and Enter for me. So I just hit Windows and 7, and it does all that. And it knows if it's after 10 p.m., instead of sending a here message, it sends a away message saying, I am out. And also, when it's done sending it, it also launches a backup program that I run on my machine every night to do some backup of my personal stuff.
It does a lot of stuff.
Well, here's the thing. Anything you have to do more than two times on a computer, my logic is you should automate it. Why keep doing it? Perfect example. When I edit Linux Basics, I, technically speaking, do virtually the exact same keystrokes from time to time to time to time to time. After a certain point, when I load all the files up and they're all sitting there, I almost always do the exact same key combinations from beginning to end as I do every show. The only difference is the ID3 tags and stuff, okay? On Linux, I tried auto hotkey, has iron key, I think it's called. Complete poop, utter poop, horrible, didn't work at all. I had people telling me I could use actual Xorg shortcuts, and it was way too much like work, didn't really work at all either. I was literally on the verge of giving up completely forever finding this. And I say that with all sincerity. I was an inch away from giving up completely.
That's not door-like.
I know, because I'm pretty OCD. Long story short, I listened to the last Going Linux podcast. Okay, this is also a teaser for one of the upcoming episodes. They're going to talk about this. They're going to talk about it much better than I, because they're the ones who, basically, they have a show topic forum area, which is actually on linuxbasics.com. But if you go to goinglinux.com/forums, I believe that is it. It automatically redirects you to the Linux Basics forums in a subtopic called Going Linux, where Larry has full admin access. And I said, I'm looking for a replacement for this quote unquote golden app, and I can't find it. 2 minutes later, Larry Bushy replied with, "Oh, you mean this?" Oh my God. Okay. What I really honestly am trying to let people know is, once in a while, not every time, but once in a while, we as people need to stop thinking that we know everything, or that we can find everything, or our Google juice is fantastic, or anything like that. And we just need to once in a while buck up, be a man, and ask somebody else.
Oh, join. That's so tough to do.
Dude, I know, but I'm telling you right now, everybody on a computer needs to join a community of some kind. Okay? For computer repair stuff, we have TechNibble and we have PodNuts. That's where a lot of people can gather together and answer a lot of questions that we might not all know the answer to, but somebody does. You know? What happens when I boot up the computer and this happens? You know, 80 people might not know, but 3 might. And if they're in that area, they're going to help each other get these things worked out. Same thing with basic computer use, okay? I don't care if you join LinuxQuestions.org. I don't care if you join Ubuntu forums. I don't care if you join PodNuts forums. I don't care if you join Linux Basics forums. I don't care if you jump in IRC, okay? You need to be in a place sometimes where you can at least ask people for help, because the ultimate search engine is other people, okay? Not a computer, okay? Period. Humans have the innate ability to truly understand the question or a need someone else has and give them a better answer than a Python script.
You sure give humans a lot of credit.
Well, who created computers? You know, we don't have yet the technology to actually do brain dumps from ourselves to a computer, thus making them as smart, quote unquote, as we are. Okay. And if it's an IRC, I'm going to tell you people right now, don't just join in an IRC and the first second you're there, ask a question and expect people to jump and answer your questions.
And don't put in there, please answer me now. I need this fast. I love those first time posters.
Yeah. The only way I can explain IRC to people who don't know is it is different. It is closer to walking down the street. And if you see a crowd of people, you can't just walk by the crowd of people and say, "Hey, where's a good pizza?" Because you're not going to get valid information back. Okay. You're going to get crap back. IRC is much more like small area communities where you actually have to sit around and talk to people for a while before they know you and are comfortable with you and will answer your questions completely with you.
Yeah.
With that said, when I had the time to hang in IRC, I can honestly say I learned more than I ever learned in any length of time about computers. And that was mainly in Aug Cast Planet was the name of the IRC room, where that's where it seemed to me like the smart kids hung out.
Wow.
Where when I asked questions, I would get, I don't want to say bombarded, I got such detailed responses back with such good information back that I was in awe.
Is it true that it helps to name yourself a girl in those types of situations?
I'll say it shouldn't hurt.
Like princess? Such.
You can go with princess if you want. I'm going to have to decline to comment on such a question due to the fact that there was a guy who his name was something princess, and he was very open to the fact that he was a guy. And
I had a neighbor, and in the early days he would go on like early days he would go on bulletin boards, and his name on bulletin boards was Princess. And you know, he was a dude and he was a straight guy, but he knew he would get more attention and then quick answers if he went on as Princess. So, I don't recommend it either, but I'm just saying, a little side color there.
Do what you got to do to get your Linux answers. That's all I would suggest.
Yeah, go to the limit.
No, but Dory is right. To have any sort of external resource other than just Google, whether it be any sort of web resource or finding a lug or creating a lug and posting about it somewhere, trying to get any sort of other resource for you to tap in for not only answers, but because you can always search on Google. How do I do this? But if you are able to talk to someone, that not only may they have solved that problem, but have some other related ones that you haven't come across yet, that they can just dump all that on you too. And it's just going to get you that much farther ahead.
Yeah. And I'll reference it back to professional wrestling. Okay. A lot of people had to pay their dues first. Okay. When you go up and sign up at a wrestling school and you pay the money, you're not a wrestler. Okay. You got to pay your dues. If you join IRC and you just hang around and say hi to people, talk when talk to kind of thing, but then you help somebody else out, if other people see you helping somebody else out when it comes time for you to need help, they will go ballistic helping you. You know?
Yeah, I believe you establish that you are of value to that community and that group, and that's
right. It's like Lord of the Flies or something.
Yeah.
Wasn't that it?
It is like that.
Something like that. Well, bottom line, join something. I don't care what it is. And when I say I don't care what it is, I really mean I don't care what it is.
You don't care.
I don't care. Just join something. Google can't answer everything yet, I guess I'll say.
It's a good basic. That wasn't the basic. That was a good topic.
Yeah, that honestly, it was the basic, but I knew it was going to go longer. And I will say, I believe Larry is going to go into detail about AutoKey and how it works, why it works, and cool things you can do with it. I will tell you, once I feel like I have things working here, functioning to the level I want them to, I'm going to post all the scripts that I'm using, you know, so anybody can copy them and edit them to their heart content.
Sweet.
So, Dor, I got a quick question for you. I just brought up the Ubuntu Software Center, and there are two versions. There's the Qt version and the GTK version.
Mm-hmm.
What's the? I mean, I kind of understand the difference, but not really. So, if someone were looking for this right now, which one would you suggest?
If you're on a KDE or Razer Qt based desktop environment, you need the Qt version. If you're on GNOME, I would say, to be honest, LXDE, XFCE, all those other types, Cinnamon, I would go for the GNOME version. But yeah, that was one of the kickers about this. The whole time I was looking for this, it was sitting in my repos the whole time.
Oh, man.
And I apparently just wasn't searching for it correctly. You know what I mean? I didn't have, my Kung Fu was not on.
You're slipping, Dor.
I just say they gave it a bad description, and I move on from there. Okay. Okay, now for the actual first topic, okay? I honestly wanted to talk about this before OLF, because there's a link to it, okay? Jonathan Nadeau understands the needs of especially vision impaired people, but he really is trying to come to grips with every user's needs when they have any kind of disability, I'll say, where they need accessibility. That's the right terminology. Okay. And I'll say there are solutions out there. Okay. There's Venix. Venix is a little bit old, you know. You have Triskel. It's a little bit old. They don't get updated to what he says, to what he considers to be enough. So the beauty of Linux is if something's not done the way you want it to, do it yourself. So Jonathan went, took Ubuntu, started with the basic Ubuntu interface, added two or three little things, tweaked one or two little things, uploaded it to SourceForge, called it Sonar. So now there's Sonar GNU Linux, and that is S-O-N-A-R. And the only point of this distribution is to let people have accessibility from first boot through install and have just everything work is the goal.
Okay.
He is going to try to push it towards using as much free software as possible, but for this project, its accessibility and usability is the primary goal.
That's awesome that he did that.
Yeah. And this kind of leans to what we were saying a couple weeks ago, Steve, about the hyper-focused distribution.
Yeah, it's perfect.
You know, Jonathan said there's nothing out there that I think fits this need explicitly, so I'm going to do it. And, you know, he just used tools that are readily available to people to create this, and he uploaded it. And this week alone, he has 87 downloads.
I see that.
That's awesome.
You know, I can't think of a better way to do it than for somebody like Jonathan. You know what I mean? He's living it, and he's the public that's going to be using it. So for him to create it, I think, is pretty smart.
Yeah. To say something ultra, I can't think of even the right word to say here.
Awesome.
Okay, yeah. controversial, okay?
Okay.
I say this ever since I was young. I should not have a large percentage of the say in laws in this country that affect women's reproductive organs. I'll say that, okay? It's because I'm not a woman, and I don't have that organ, and I don't have the issues and the questions that come with having that organ, okay? If you ask me...
You cracked me up, Dor.
I know, I couldn't say it. If you ask me to make a law concerning that, I'm not going to do it right. I can't do it right. I'm incapable of doing it right. Just like if you ask me to create a Linux distro for people that are blind, I'm not going to do it right. I can't do it right. I'm incapable of doing it right. Nobody, honestly, can do it right except for the people that actually need it, because they notice everything that's wrong with it.
Totally. You know? I think so as well.
Right. And I will say, Jonathan is at OLF. I believe his talk is at 11 p.m. Saturday at OLF. So that is definitely one of the talks I'm encouraging people to go see.
11 p.m.?
11 a.m., I believe.
Okay, because if it's 11 p.m., I'm still going to be there, but I'm gonna bring some beer.
Yes, I understand. I'm not going to say obvious because I'm an idiot. It is 2 o'clock to 2:15, sorry. Saturday, 2 p.m. Saturday, OLF. Jeez. And it's the importance of free software and accessibility.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So just to recap this real quick, he created a version of Ubuntu with accessibility. Is it specifically for the install?
It should be at boot time. It should kick in during the installation process. It is there. And when you first boot it, it is again still there.
Okay. That is good.
And it's just, we're in typical standard Ubuntu, not every application is accessible. So you go to the menu and you start to run something, and you as a vision impaired user don't hear nothing. But the application's sitting there waiting for you to do input, but you hear nothing because that application is not accessible. So he's trying to make sure everything from beginning, from A to Z, is accessible in that distro, so you don't have to worry about it.
And it's things like this that he's doing, not only for the community at large, but for the accessibility community, that is just one more reason to support him.
Yeah. He's definitely, the best way I can describe him is selfless. Not selfish for you people out there. Selfless. He understands there are so many more important things in this place than just his needs, so he's trying to help everybody else out too. And honestly, the more accessible applications are, the more we benefit from them too. We, as in people who don't need quote-unquote accessibility right now, we benefit from it too, because that means the application is more solid, it's more complete, you know?
Yeah. I like it. And he's potentially laying the groundwork in the process for attaching it to other distros and other pieces of software in the future, so he's really creating a process on top of attaching this accessibility to existing distros and software.
Oh yeah, and not trying to sound dumb, I expect him to have his life threatened in less than 4 years by some guy at a company making millions of dollars off of people's lack of ability to use a computer, and he has stuff that they need, so he charges out the wazoo. I feel like what he's doing could pressure the market such, to be honest, the first day he gets a death threat, he's going to say, I made it!
You know? Exactly. Exactly. Because he's arrived.
Yeah, because that is how much he's doing can change the world, dare I say. And then we're going to do 180 completely degree flip-flop, flip-flip, okay? We're going to then transition to a YouTube video that I encourage people to watch after the fact, okay? Because right now we're doing a show. And it's not short. It's long. It's a two-parter, which I will first tell people, I could not sit through the entire set of videos. I couldn't. I puked in my mouth is the best way I can put it. Because I did. Because this guy does not get Linux, does not get freedom, does not get the reason why Linux is successful is because it can be niche, okay? It's a rant on the fragmentation of Linux distributions and how there's too many distributions and it's too confusing to people. And why should somebody be able to base a distribution off of Ubuntu, change one thing and call it a whole new distribution? That's just stupid.
Why should they be allowed that? Yeah. Come on. Who is this guy? The distro police?
I'll just say his handle is TechSnap. It is not TechSnap the show from the guys by Cody. It isn't those guys. This is the guy's handle is TechSnap. When I hear his voice, I don't hear those guys' voices. Right. So I don't know who this guy is, but the nicest way I can put it, he's a flipping idiot.
I'm disliking his video right now.
I already did. The best thing about freedom is choice. It is choice. Without quote-unquote fragmentation, Jonathan could not create a distribution super focused on people with accessibility needs. I guess to him, we should only have three versions of Linux. You know, Slackware, Red Hat, and Debian. And everybody else should just go to hell, I guess. I don't know. I couldn't watch the whole thing. I'll just say, he's an idiot. He's an idiot. He's an idiot. I want, when I'm older, to have McLaughlin Linux for my kids. And then when they go over to somebody else's house, they're going to understand the backbone of the system and understand how it works. And if they have Linux, they'll be able to still get everything done, but they'll see, you know, Johnson Linux. you know, or Cooper Linux, and, you know, and see those differences kind of thing. And it, and
okay. I don't get my Linux store. Thanks a lot.
No, you don't. Yet.
After a while, maybe. And weird near you.
And here is an honest to goodness proof that anyone in business for any length of time should be aware of. And if you think I'm wrong, keep smoking crack. Okay. There is no piece of software that you can buy off the shelf that will completely fit your business's needs 100% and not go over your needs. The gist of that is the only way to get something exactly what you need is to, in business, is to pay a consultant to come in and customize it. Then you get exactly what you need. Okay. Linux is the same way. When you install Linux, your goal is not to install exactly what you need. Your goal is to install something that gets you close to what you need, to where with minimal work afterwards, you have exactly what you need. But this guy's just a raving idiot.
Having an open sort of workspace or playground, if you will, as opposed to just a predetermined workspace with no moving parts and no customization whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe if it was up to him, we would only have a choice of 4 shirts to buy at Walmart at 10 p.m. at night.
In relation to that, really quick, I'll say that one of the things that really turned me on to Linux was the way that about 3 years ago, actually, it was when Apple announced the iPad. I was a big Apple fan, and I saw that, and I kind of thought that that's where they're trying to lead their customers to, their people, if you will, into more of this sort of confined space. And you know, you kind of saw what was happening with iTunes and all the going digital with the software, and it's creating much more of a narrow path, which is a good business for them, but it just wasn't for me. And then you look at all the different Linux distros, all the different software, and that's what makes the OS so great.
Right.
Yeah, it's very different, very much the opposite of Apple.
Right.
Yeah, and I'll say to the layman people who don't really know computers, you don't have to know computers. All you got to know is Baskin and Robbins 31 flavors. Okay, that place is successful not because it has vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, but because it has so many friggin' flavors of ice cream. I mean, you know, come on.
Period. They're incorporated with Dairy Queen now, and I don't see 31 flavors there. I mean, not Dairy Queen, with Dunkin' Donuts now.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And they don't have 31 flavors there anymore.
Hmm.
And who doesn't love those pink little spoons?
Exactly. Well, I guess now they have coffee flavored and vanilla chocolate strawberry. Okay. I can't talk about that guy too long and that kind of mentality too long because it just makes me irate, and I don't want to turn this into a non-family friendly show.
Okay. Well, just if you know, everybody should watch that video. If you think it's bad, dislike it, and maybe he'll get the hint.
Oh, yeah. Now, super quick to quote Michael Jordan, paraphrase. He's missed over 9,000 shots. He's personally lost over like 300 games in his life. Without failure, you do not have success. Okay. I.e., also, you have to know what not to do, how not to think, in order to know how to think right. You cannot just ignore stupid people. Hence why I watch Ancient Aliens. You know, you gotta understand how everyone thinks to understand how to think rationally. That's just, you know, one of my beliefs. Total tangent. Okay. Like a month ago, I hit off a couple people telling them the GIMP magazine would be out. Oh, the GIMP magazine is out. You can go get it now. It is over at, and I just should not have clicked that.
GIMPmagazine.org/issue1.
Touche. Yes, it is. And I will say, I highly encourage people, even if you're not into GIMP or into art or into graphics or into any of that, to go check it out just to see what can be done, how things are done, just so you have a better understanding of processes. You know, because to be quite honest, we all need stuff done once in a while that we don't know how to do, like graphics. And if you are going to go pay somebody to do stuff, it's good to have an idea of
what can be done,
what others consider looking good. Because, like, you know, some people have golden ears for audio. Some people have, I guess, golden eyes for art. The ears are lead and the eyes are like granite. Okay.
You're talking about yourself?
Yeah. I can't hear the difference between good and bad to save my life. And if something looks good, I don't know. I mean, you know, bad stuff sticks out like a sore thumb. If I make it, it looks bad. You know?
Yeah.
But it's to me, very good to see what can be done. One person at work who has like 2+ years Photoshop experience, I sent them this link and I said, please just look through it. You know, just tell me what you think about it.
What'd they say?
They looked at the launching thing and said, it sounds very cool. Sounds very interesting. I can't wait to check it out. They are right now off on maternity leave, so I'll have to wait.
Maybe they're home learning GIMP on maternity leave.
Well, when they're home, I'm not dinging them for anything.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean. Like,
and in the first 24 hours, they got over 10,000 downloads of the PDF version. So you know that there's an audience there.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind.
Jeez.
GIMP is not perfect, okay? I will tell you right now, GIMP is not perfect. GIMP is not a verbatim replacement for Photoshop, period. It can take the place of Photoshop with a lot of its features and functions. It's not an exact duplicate of Photoshop, okay? But it's cool, and it's open source, and it's free. And if you can run it on Windows if you want, I do it work.
It's very cool.
Yep. Okay, I got one more YouTube video here to shoot at you guys. And this was actually a video at Fedora Conference. What was it called? I can't remember. I can't remember what it's called. Okay. What it basically is a 7-minute run through. And by run through, I mean, seriously, run through. A introduction to a variety of open source creative tools. Okay.
Cool. I like creative tools.
Yeah. I will have all the apps listed in the show notes. Real quick, of course, GIMP is in there. I call it PTV, PITIVI, Windows Movie Maker-esque video editor. Audacity, what we're using right now on our local computers to record this show. Blender, 3D modeling, stuffy stuff. Mix, M-I-X-X-X, which I do think is a really cool app that has a future. Plus, like, 20 more. And the girl's kind of cute.
You know. Very cool. I'm just sorry. I'm, like, scrolling through your list and trying to check out the video. Inkscape is in there. Neat. Yeah. Any music stuff? Oh, well, Audacity, you said.
Yeah.
There's Audacity.
They do definitely talk about Hydrogen. It's just creative. So they
Hydrogen is a cool drum. Hydrogen is in there, and that's a cool drum machine on Linux.
I will say it's the preeminent drum machine in Linux that I know of. I'm not going to say it's the best drum machine, but it seems like the most popular one.
Oh, Mix is the DJ software.
Oh, yeah. Mix is cool, man. I cannot wait to actually host something at my house.
And play this?
And I'm going to, I'm going all out. Are you kidding me?
You're going to scratch it? You're going to do some scratching?
No scratching. I'm going to definitely try to, though, mix, I don't know, something popular, really bad with Beatles or Boogie Down Productions or something.
Some Katy Perry, some old school Genesis together.
Sure, yes. Perfect, yes.
That sounds weird.
And exactly. Why wait until your next party? I'm thinking hotel room OLF.
I don't know if I could do this inebriated.
Okay. I could crank out some house music tunes on this thing.
Dude, nice.
Well, we can get some Fontaine rocking on.
That's right. We'll bring Luke Fontaine stuff.
Very cool.
Well, you got to get permission first from copyright.
He's a pushover. Okay. In the same, I don't know, genre. Okay. I posted this link this week on Google Plus, and Ryan Raydor got really mad at me. Okay. Ryan Raydor, Penguin producer podcast. He's the guy who literally is in a band and rocks hard kind of thing. You know what I mean? Plays his guitar, loves his guitar, just going off, riffing, jamming, any other adjectives that I don't understand. And he's doing all that kind of stuff. Okay. I put this link out there and I thought it was cool, but I didn't know. It is on worldofgnome.org, which I can say, I don't think I've ever heard of before, but it is a plugin to Rhythmbox that when you're playing an audio file, if it's properly named and tagged, it will go out and find the tablature for you and download it and display it right in the Rhythmbox interface.
And tablature, for people who don't know, is basically an easy way for guitarists to read music and play their guitar to certain songs. It's not like we're having to read notes exactly, but it's kind of close, but it's much easier, in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm saying this right or not, but it seems like the guitar is one of the few instruments in the world that there's multiple formats of learning or documenting on paper how to play or how to reproduce.
Well, there's tablature and then there's the other way, the standard way.
Right. Which is just weird. I mean, they both exist and they keep existing.
Yeah. But yeah, when I took guitar lessons, we learned on tablature.
Gotcha. Yeah, Ryan basically cursed me and said, I already don't have any time and you just killed a lot more. Damn you, Dor. That's basically what he said.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And right there at the bottom of the link on worldofgnome.org, there is a link to GitTabs plugin. So if you yourself either are aspiring to be a guitarist, or you are a guitarist, or you're always looking for more tablature, bang. Or if you're trying to convince somebody to switch over to Linux that likes guitar, here's a little bait, you know, dangle in front of them a little carrot.
Sweetness.
Yeah. Needless to say, I am keeping that one open for a guy at work. Okay. I wasn't sure about this one at first, so I loaded up a turnkey Linux lamp stack, to be honest, and I dumped this one on there real quick. And I gotta say, I really like this one a lot for a couple reasons. Okay. It's over at linuxjournal.com, which is actually a digital magazine. I believe it's digital only now.
Yep. That was about a year ago.
Right. And when they publish a magazine, I believe a month or two later after it's expired, then they publish it on the internet. So you can see what was there and see what you're missing kind of thing. But they talked about this Pwig.org.
I think it's Pwigo, right?
Yeah, good eye. Thank you. Pwigo, which still, that doesn't help with understanding what the hell it is, I'll tell you that. I will say, Steve, this is a horrible name.
Pwig. Yeah.
But it's cool, good stuff, okay? Think of this as web software. Like you would install an application on Linux, you could install an application on Windows. This would be an application that you would install on your web server, okay? What it is, it's gallery management, creation, editing tool for any kind of pictures or art that looks to me to be good. I mean, dang good. Really customizable, super, super tweakable, very easy to administrate too. To me, that was the kicker. That's when you got me sold. you know.
So you build your own Flickr with it, basically?
You can basically, quote unquote, build your own Flickr. And you can, the themes are almost outrageous, I'll say. The amount of themes you can get for this thing. And the customization ability. something like that.
That you Yourism. Can,
something like that. It's really customizable.
Yes.
Stuff. I really encourage people, if you need to have yourself a web gallery that quote unquote you own, and not that Facebook owns, not that Google Plus owns, not that Yahoo owns, but that you own, you control. I encourage people to. B, if you need help, let me know. DoorDoorGeek@gmail.com. But you need to take a look at Piwigo. Piwigo.org.
Super looks cool awesome. Software.
Oh, yeah. And it was not hard to set up. I will say it was not hard to set up, was not hard to get going, and was really cool in the discovery for the first 20 minutes when I was playing with it kind of thing.
Do you have any pictures on there?
Nope. Because it was a VM and I just rebooted and it went bye-bye.
Okay.
But I will say, I think this is one of the things that you suggested to me when I was, or when my son was born, I was looking for something like this.
No, back then I had an application, which was quote unquote an application. Seriously, it was one file. It was called Ajax Gallery, Ajax Net Gallery, whatever. And it was just one PHP file. You open a directory, you create a directory, you dump that one file in, then you dump all your folders and all your pictures in it. And it created on the fly a database and all this kind of thing. And it was cool. Don't get me wrong. Cool. This is like Tesla, where that was a VW bug.
You know what I mean? Nice.
The VW bug works just fine. Germans make good stuff. You know, it will get you from A to B for a long time. But the Tesla will also get you chicks on the way.
Yeah. I saw a video of a Lamborghini doing over 200 miles per hour before the show tonight. So they'll get you chicks too.
I hope they're not in America.
They were in a desert type region. I think they were in America.
Gotcha. Well, then, you know, they can join James Dean. I'll just say that. okay. Now, what I wasn't sure, but I wanted to say anyway, because I don't remember if I did say, and if I did say, I don't care. I'm saying it again. Piwigo, Piwigo, might be by the same people that create Piwik. P-I-W-I-K. Okay. Piwik is open source, freely downloadable, distributable, customizable, whatever, web analytics software for your own personal use, personal consumption, where you have complete control over it and all of its data.
Awesome.
Yeah. They have a decent Android app. I don't care less about an iOS app. And the web interface to it, to be honest, is really good. I don't want to say I don't need Google anymore, because obviously I'm an idiot to say that. I'll say this fills my needs more than enough to where I don't need Google for analytics.
That's because it looks exactly like Google Analytics.
Well, and because I don't partake in AdSense, is it?
Yeah.
Because if I was in AdSense, I would need Google Analytics installed.
You wouldn't.
I believe AdWords? No, for AdWords you don't, but for AdSense, I think you do.
I don't think so.
For one of them, you do.
I'm pretty sure you don't.
How else are they going to know?
Know what?
AdSense is when you have the ads on your own page for them.
Yes.
Right.
You don't have to keep track. They keep track.
Well, yeah. Well, you're installing Google Analytics for them, basically, when you do that. You know what I mean? I don't know, Steve. Right. Just roll with me. I'm trying to make shit up here.
All right. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. but I will say, Piwik, here's one of the super, super quickies. LinuxBasics.com, when we had Piwik up and running, we were able to figure out some false information we were getting from our RSS stats that we were getting from FeedBurner. Because on our FeedBurner, at least, on everything that we've looked at and every RSS feed I've ever had through there, if you log in every day and look at the feed activity, they'll tell you a totally different number of downloaders. It will literally go up and down. Not by, you know, 300 at a whack, but it will go up and down throughout the week. You know, 450, 512, 486, 495. And it just keeps fluctuating. And we're thinking, this is crazy. How can every day it be fluctuating like this? And it turns out, it seems like Google's quote-unquote too accurate with that count. Pawick actually showed us much more flatline activity, where that's what we want to see. We want to see not explicit numbers. We want to see averages throughout the day, so we see a line, so we can much more easily identify growth or loss. You know what I mean? I don't know if I said that right.
Well, less spikes, more consistency.
Yes, exactly.
So you want colored statistics. You don't want accuracy.
I want pretty. Sorry.
All right.
Okay. I don't think I've ever done this before. I'm actually bringing up two links today from Lennox Journal. And I will say, I don't think Lennox Journal gets enough talking up by people. Their podcast is just slightly annoying, but it's good. But they're just crazy. And they're crazy because it seems seriously like it's just four or five guys literally sitting around a desk getting drunk talking about Lennox. So they once in a while get a little bit irate or, you know, mouthy. Gotcha. Or something. Don't have that. But it's good. In a good way. But here to me was, to be honest, maybe the most complete description I could give somebody who understands web creation. And when I say web creation, you know, landing page, links page, layout, you know, a guy who I work with understands all that tenfold more than me. I can't design anything. Everything I design looks bad. Okay. The layout's bad. The color scheme's bad. Everything's bad. I can't do it. But if you already understand the concepts behind web design, you know, the form and the function and da 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 da, but you need to understand content management systems, where, when, how, why kind of thing. Lennox Journal has a really good write-up. It's called Basic Web Design with Drupal 7. And it's really not basic web design, okay? What this is introduction to beginner Drupal task, okay? Because me and Steve C. have used Drupal enough. I'll just say enough. Cody, have you ever used Drupal?
No, I haven't. I've done very little with WordPress, but I can tell you I've been looking at it lately. I recently purchased a book on Google Play. I think it was Drupal 7 Essentials. It has a blue cover. But seeing this article, I'm just kind of, you know, perusing it as you're talking about it. I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait to read this after the show. So, because, cool. Yeah, I have some web stuff I want to start soon. So and if you have that web project you're looking to, or if you just want to get started with Drupal, use this as a jumping off point for sure.
Yeah, I'll say WordPress. I might have said this on the show. I don't know. WordPress is like going to a car dealership and being handed a set of keys as something you can right now go drive. You know, and quote unquote, pick up chicks. Drupal is not. Drupal is like you just bought a kit car and you got to sit in your garage for 4 weeks, sweating, cutting your knuckles, lubing, greasing, torquing.
I almost consider it like you bought the frame, the engine and the wheels, I mean, no body, basically, yeah. To me.
You bought the essentials.
Yeah.
Right. Basically, whenever you install Drupal, you're never ready to roll. You always got to do some legwork to get it up to a running state. WordPress, you can literally install and roll and you're going. And this to me says very basic stuff like adding content type fields. Well, first off, what is a content type? Then adding content type fields. Then building views. Oh, views are gold. Okay, I love views.
Once you wrap your wits around views, they're gold. They're so powerful, but you got to really just, once you have that light bulb moment, then you will love views for the rest of your life.
Yeah. The best way I can explain views ain't going to make sense to a lot of people. It's like dynamically creating SQLs on your data in Drupal. What? Exactly. Doesn't make any sense. The best way to describe it to a layman is if you've ever seen National Treasure 2, I believe it was 2. No, National Treasure 1. He went into Philadelphia up by the bell, saw the brick, took the brick out, and he found a set of glasses, supposedly created by Benjamin Franklin. These glasses had literally like 3 layers of glass on them. And when he looked at the back of the Constitution, I believe it was, he saw something magical there. Oh, it appeared. It looks cool. But then when he flicked one of the lenses up, he saw something different. Views manipulate the view on your data. So you can have your data on the paper displaying in multiple different ways with very little work on your behalf via a view.
Totally.
That was
a great tie-in with the Nicolas Cage glasses.
Well, it's the only thing in pop culture I've seen that does it justice.
Yeah, I do all the Podnuts pages with using views and Drupal. So
cool. Okay, this next one I just got to dump out there super quick. I cannot say it enough. Every cloud-based storage solution, you don't trust, okay? Period. Nobody here should trust. I feel ashamed, is all I'm going to say, when Steve Gibson says, you can trust yada yada because they're TNO and you have this and... No, bottom line is they have your data. They have your data. You don't. You are beholden to them. You cannot do anything unless they say it's okay. That's not cool. OwnCloud, or SparkleShare is the other one that I can never get up and running, but that's the other one. You own it, okay? OwnCloud, there's a little interview here over on Datamation. With the OwnCloud president, I believe, the CTO, Frank K, the founder and CTO of OwnCloud. And he basically says, everything I want to hear as, I'm going to say, a freedom-loving, because I love freedom with my data, Linux user. And the quote is, he added, the origins of free software are all about having control over what is going on your own machine. Also, it is good that we have Linux on the desktop and on the server. But if all the data is stored at Google or Dropbox or Microsoft, where is the freedom there?
That's true.
I cannot agree with him more. I honest and goodness, cannot agree with him more. You essentially don't have freedom because you're beholden to the man. That's the only way I can put it. You know, and got to fight for our rights. It's the only thing I can say.
It makes sense.
Okay, I know we're going a little bit long, so I'm going to skip a couple here, guys. In the notes, I'm going to highlight them, which, of course, would typically mean we want to look at them, but I know, I'm no good. Okay, this is a link. I honestly can't tell you where I came across this at. No idea. I'm sure it was Tony on Google Plus, and I thank you, mystery man, woman, child, alien, computer, AI, whatever you are. Because this, to me, it's All Things D conference, it's about disruption. This, to me, has the potential to be utterly, awesomely disruptive. Okay? I did send this link to Cody earlier, and I asked Steve C to take a peek at it. And it's almost pipe dream is the only way I can put it, okay? Pipe friggin' dream. What if, hypothetically, we had a quad-core 2-gigabyte phone on our person that, hypothetically, we're going to say cost like $400, okay? This is not a $50 device phone. Not, it can't be, okay? And you'll see why. You take that phone, okay? Here's one. Roll back. Here's one of the logical things. We have, as users, hypothetically, we're going to say the average person, a phone, a tablet, a laptop, and a desktop.
Yep.
Hypothetically, I can only really be using one of them at a time. And when I stop and think that, I'm really only using one at a time. Granted, we have podcasters who do different things, and we have higher-end people doing quote-unquote work on them that do different things, but for the majority of people out there, we only use one of them at a time. What if we had a quad-core multi-gig RAM device in our pocket that was a phone running Android, but also had running on it Ubuntu, I'm trying to think of the right word, Ubuntu on devices, Ubuntu on phones, Ubuntu on something. Ubuntu for Android. Thank you.
There you go.
Okay. Now imagine if you had your phone and you can do everything on it and it's a good phone. And then you have yourself a 7 or 10 inch tablet. I think it's 10 inch tablet. Argument's sake, whatever, 10 inch tablet. And you pick up that tablet and then on the back of the tablet, you slap your phone, maybe not slap it, but you put it on the back and it basically is there now. It's on your tablet. You don't have to hold it there. And now your tablet is using the quad-core processor, multi-gig RAM in that device. And it's using that device's internet access. So now you have a bigger screen, maybe with customized applications for that bigger screen to get other things done. Then, and at the same time, access your contacts, access your emails from the phone, access your camera, access whatever on the phone, because that's what it does. And then hypothetically, you walk up to what looks like an ultrabook, a super thin keyboard, super thin screen. You open it up, you slap your phone on the back of that, and now on that device, you have full-blown Ubuntu running off of your multi-core, multi-RAM device, and voila, ba-da-ba-da-boom, you have internet access. And then you can do the same thing with the desktop. You have like a little circular station, you put the phone in, and then you have it all again there. Okay. The best way I can put this, this is anti-iPhone. Everything this device does is in direct conjecture to anything Apple. And that's the honestly, I heard somebody else say that, but that's what I'm saying. Okay. This guy named
Hermé Cosmas.
Thank you. Hermé Cosmas. Basically put up on Indiegogo the next phone, NEXPHONE, NEXPHONE. If you Google it, you have to search like next phone, NEXPHONE. The brain in your pocket or next phone, tablet, laptop kind of thing. This guy has a goal of $950,000. To completely fund and start producing these quote-unquote devices, but dream devices that don't exist yet, and basically sell them out on the market. Quick disclaimer, this is not the end-all be-all. We are still going to have standalone tablets. We are still going to have standalone laptops. We are still going to have standalone desktops, because one product, i.e., one product off the shelf will never fit everyone's needs. I think I said that earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. Same principality of the situation. Okay. Bottom line, this looks really cool. Now, I will say Cody did a little bit of researchy-searchy, and this guy classifies himself as a serial entrepreneur, and I wasn't sure how credible that statement was.
Well, I did some research. He actually owns Cosmas Technologies, which is one of the world's largest voice over IP providers with several offices internationally, and it's based out of Walnut Creek, California. So think about that for just a second. Not only does he have experience in the field of tech, but he potentially has the network to distribute data, okay, and definitely the funding to make something like this happen. So, but yeah, it was funny because when Dor sent me some links earlier, one of the links was on a Cult of Mac, which is a huge Mac site, and it was funny to read the author's interpretation of it, because it literally is anti-Apple, not necessarily anti-Apple, but imagine a company that creates a bunch of devices like Apple would for specific, you know, they have their tablet, they have their phone, then they have their laptops, and they have their desktops. This is amazing because you have one core device. And then you essentially have all of these shells that it attaches to in kind of a symbiotic way, activates that device to where I'm thinking down the road, you know, I mean, we replace our phones about every, you know, 2 years, if not some of us 1 year. But if you have all of these satellite devices, I'll call them, whether it be the laptop dock, the tablet, you know, or the desktop, and then you just get a new phone. Well, then you've upgraded all three devices at the same time. You know, it's quite an amazing thing. And it literally, you know, you saw this with the Motorola
Atrix.
The Atrix, yeah, with the laptop dogs. Thank you, Steve. So you're seeing these devices being incorporated and sort of powering other devices and making them more accessible. But this is the first one I've seen which will do all three. It's quite bold. I'm going to contribute. I can't wait to see this if it actually happens. But it really is the way that the market is going to be heading down the road, because we're just not going to have. Think of the economy the way it is right now. People don't have a lot of money to buy each of these devices separately because they are quite expensive. But if you have this, it's only going to cut down on costs potentially, and it's going to put a lot of technology into the hands of a lot of different people.
I think this is the future too. I definitely do. I think it's pretty far into the future. I mean, I think this Indiegogo is just to take it from concept to prototype. And I think that's the money, according to his last paragraph. He just has a long way to go, even after he gets his million. I love this idea. I think I actually am starting to implement this now I took desktops out of my equation. I'm trying to do this with my laptop basically, but I still have my tablet and my phone. So I'm one step closer to getting there, and this kind of technology will get me all the way there. I love it. If my phone or my core device, like this phone size device, is the most powerful thing and it has that much horsepower, I think that's going to be awesome. I don't think this is anti-Apple. I think that Apple would probably actually try to do something like this in the future, except all the pieces would be very expensive. So I don't think this is something Apple would be shaking in their boots about. I think that they probably thought about this already. I think they'd love for everybody to have like a $1,000 iPhone that drives a screen, drives a tablet. And as long as they're still making all the hardware, I think they're going to do all right. But, I picture Apple making something like this, but I also picture this happening on, I hope it happens first with Ubuntu here. I think that'd be killer. So I'm looking forward to the technology, but I think they're spot on. This is where it's going.
Yeah. I do think it's one of those things. It probably will not be as successful as I want it to be, only because it's too far ahead of its time, but I think it's needed. I think the proof of concepts, this needs to be done.
I agree.
I'll throw out there by the bottom of the page on Indiegogo, the next phone and the next dock, $499. The next tablet dock, $149. The next laptop dock, $199. The next monitor, quote unquote, desktop with dock, keyboard and trackpad, estimated price of $199.
Damn.
So
that's awesome.
500, 700, 900, $1,500. You would have basically a complete soup to nuts system for your entire apartment or house system for a single person. I will say that. Hypothetically, me and my wife, we would have to get two of the desktops, two of the laptops, two of the phones. You know what I mean? We might only need one desktop if we're only going to use it once at a time. You know what I mean? Hypothetically kind of thing. I'm not going to say, now that you say it like that, Steve, you're right. I'm not going to say this is anti-Apple. I will say, from what I looked at it, the pricing is not what Apple would do.
No, the pricing, yes. Well, I think it would be way off what Apple would do.
Well, and the future proofing of itself also, to me, seems to me to be, I don't want to say anti-Apple, because that's not really fair. I think it's anti-normal corporate of today, where, like Cody said, 2 years you update your device, it's going to work with all these old devices as well, because they're really, there's nothing to them. They're bare. They're abandoned. All the work, all the horsepower, all the RAM, all the networking is in the phone itself.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily anti-Apple, like they're not going after Apple, obviously, but it's a completely, it's like, it's the opposite side of the coin for a mindset on getting devices into the hands of people.
Yeah.
That is what the article was trying to get at, you know.
Yep. Okay. I agree with you there.
Yeah, and he does mention Apple in this page where he says, in consumer electronics, you cannot differentiate any brand only with its design, except for Apple products. Apple's designs of rectangular shape with rounded corners, a style that follows all of its products, is copied by every OEM on the planet. We have created our own style that follows our own products. So
they're looks like Apple products.
Well, no. They're preemptively making their things so they don't look like Apple's, so they don't get sued. Right. Like,
it looks like Apple's without rounded corners.
Yes. And maybe a touch more chrome on, because their phone, I don't think, is that chromey, and their tablet doesn't have that much chrome on it. But yeah, it's definitely ish. I'm not going to say that. But yeah, 60 days left. To be honest, yesterday they were up to $100. I think yesterday was the first day of its launch. Today is the first full day. In a couple hours, it's going to be the first complete day kind of thing. And they're almost up to $2,000. So it'll be cool if it comes to fruition. I'm not going to lie. If it doesn't, I'm not going to cry, because there's going to be something else in the matter of a year, 2 years, or 3 years that does something like it.
Totally. Don't cry.
I'm not going to cry. My mama said, don't cry. So I'm not going to cry. And she said it to me a long time ago, because she's dead now. So it's not like I'm talking to her. Okay. I'm going to also skip the next two links, guys. And I'm going to go just to the last two. First one. It's called Open IT Lab. I honestly think somebody at Linux Basics shot me this link, because I don't remember where I got it from. I just seriously don't know. But the link is to their scheduler. And their scheduler, for instance, Thursday, September 13th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Linux System Administration 101. It's basically an online class. The prerequisite is command line 101 or basic working knowledge of the command line in either Windows, DOS, or Linux. And that's just one of the classes. They got like four or five classes. And I'll say, Saturday, September 22nd, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Drupal 101 and 102 all-day workshop. That's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. So I just think this is cool. I did not hear about it up to maybe 4 or 5 days ago. I like the sound of it. I like the look of it. It seems to me to be very open. Dare I say it is called Open IT Labs. But it seems very open about their content and about their teaching. So I really encourage people, at least go check out the schedule. See if there's something that you're interested in, and if it is, why not find the time? Because it's not like, you know, 6 week classes or anything. It's just,
yeah, why not 2 hours?
Right. Very cool stuff. And the very last one, I'm not going to say I was at a cross whether or not I wanted to bring it up, because that's a lie. I knew I was going to bring it up, but I was at a cross of how to bring it. I don't know. Okay. First off, it's called Chocolatey. Let's get that done with. Okay,
it's I'm called, on board already.
Me too.
It's called
Great Chocolatey. Best name in the world.
It's a good name. Okay, in the Linux world, one of the things that I mean, am really uppity on the power that I have is I can drop to a command line, and I can say all in one command: sudo apt-get superuser. Apt-get is the install uninstall mechanism, and then I say sudo apt-get space install space mumble space Firefox space Audacity space NitroShare space Culper space, and I can just keep going on, and I can just list all these things and hit enter, and then I can go get a juice, get a sandwich, go watch some UFC, bada bada bang. I come back, and everything that I just listed is then installed on my computer. Easy peasy done. I don't want to be arrogant, but to me, this is signs that Linux is not only winning, but it's also winning in mindshare. And what I mean by that is the logic of how Linux works is starting to stretch. It's starting to reach out into other places it did not reach out before. This application called Chocolatey brings, and this is the life hacker quote, Chocolatey brings lightning quick Linux style package management to Windows. What I mean is, in Windows with Chocolatey, from a single command line, you can install insane, right now I believe it's 300 different applications, like 7-Zip, Notepad++, Git, Ruby, VLC, PuTTY, FileZilla, Curl, which if you don't know, just act like you know, it's a good tool, Expresso, kind of popular tool, Launchy, Pate.net, a Adobe Reader, which everybody seems to need, Winder, Stat, Skype, on and 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 on. Okay. I believe this is going to become super popular, super quick by computer techs. What computer tech? Because that's why Night was nice. Because you had one web interface, you could go click, 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 and do this stuff, and then you would have what you would need. Well, what if you can script it? And from the first login, you basically just double-click a batch file, and it installs the PowerShell, because I believe you need the PowerShell for this. And then you can go install Google Chrome, VirtualBox, I mean, all these other kinds of tools I'm talking about. And I'm sure the tool set is only going to get more. I will say, certain applications will not want to be in this list. And by certain applications, certain dirty, dirty applications that install on having their, that insist on having their toolbar installed kind of thing.
Yeah.
Cause I'll say, if you haven't figured it out yet, people in the Linux world, we don't suffer from this. Can we install our toolbar? Can we make this your default search engine thing that people suffer with in Windows? Just another reason why I can't stand Windows.
You got it.
Yeah. So I encourage people, especially, honestly, I'm going to shoot this off to BryTech if he doesn't know about it. BryTech to me seems to be the guy who could really abuse this and, to be honest, get the word out to Windows techs much better than I. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
BryTech has that connection. And he's, you know, smart guy, nice guy.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I haven't heard from him in a while, actually.
He's busy with his cat on his bed and doing stuff like that.
Didn't sound that great. All right. Should I read an email?
I like email.
Me too. Did we have a contest? Did we do it? You started a contest last week, right, Dora?
Why, yes.
What was the rules?
The rules is, there ain't no rules. I don't make contests with rules. Rules are complicated. Basically, just shoot us an email.
Makes a contest.
No. Here's different levels of contest. just send us an email and tell us what you would like to see us do or hear us talk about at OLF when we're all in the same room. And it's for the Linux Pocket Guide from O'Reilly.
That's right. Well, we got one suggestion, and it's from Chuck. And he says, hey, guys, I love the show. What I would like to see is a video of lots of folks singing a song together at OLF. Peace. Annoyance. Annoyance is his name in the chat room.
I don't sing.
I sing.
I don't sing often, but I might be persuaded if I'm under the influence of something.
Well, yes, I will retract my statement and say, when I do sing, it's inebriated singing, and you don't want it recorded. Nor do I.
I also want to say that I hardly drink a drop these days. I really don't. So I'm a little scared about, and I'm not going to get plastered. And I don't want anybody to watch this show think all we want to do is go to OLF and get slammed and hammered. But I'm probably going to have a couple drinks there, and I'm curious to see how I act.
Well, honestly, I'm not going for the liquor. It just so happens that there's going to be a beer in my hand a majority of the evenings.
But me too. Me too. I'm going to take that opportunity and do that too. So it's going to be pretty wild.
I can't remember who posted it in the Google Plus invite for OLF, but it's also that area's Oktoberfest that whole weekend.
Right, and it's near a brewery district too.
Right. Yeah, so we can say we're going to be responsible all we want, but then we're going to come back and we're going to be bloodshot eyes for about 2 months. But I will tell you what I will try to do for you is at least a one-man rendition of Eye of the Tiger, and we'll get it recorded and I'll post it somewhere for you.
Hey, if somebody has a guitar there, I'll play Eye of the Tiger while Cody's singing.
Oh, dude. Oh, we got to do that. Okay.
All right.
If you could,
I'm not making no promises for anything.
You should have a kazoo and kazoo Eye of the
kazoo.
Tiger.
A kazoo. Jeez.
All right, guys. Thank you, Chuck. You are now entered in the contest, and you have a very high chance of winning. If anybody else wants to enter the contest and send us an email, send it to mail@podnuts.com. If you want to send us a voicemail, call 7076-PODNUT on a phone, and we will get it, and we will play it, and I mark my words, we will do that. All right, guys, let's go around, say any last comments we have for the folks, and we be done after that. Dor.
Okay, thank you everybody for coming out live. Please do not forget, people, Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, podnuts.com/live, but we also do have an audio-only stream, super bandwidth-impaired people on mobile devices with 1X coverage out in a hill watching their kid run up and down the field back and forth, and it's just driving you nuts. Why not tune in to thenewradio.net where you could hear other such fine programming like this being broadcast. Basically every show I do, I try to broadcast from there live. Anything you want to know about me, doordoorgeek.com. I'm not going to make any promises, so I'm not going to say anything about the promises, but doordoorgeek.com, good stuff. Go check it out. And I'll just say, Chuck might have this book, and I'm going to say right now, it's going to be super easy for me to say he's the winner because he's the only one who has registered. And all I got to do is say, when I'm there, hey, Chuck, congratulations. And just hand him a book. So people need to bring Chuck some competition, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Step up your game, guys.
Yeah. And I will say my auto key has been working excellently throughout the show. I have roughly 17, I think, 18 tweets, all of them separated, show, hash, and they're all going over to Google Plus.
Awesome, man. Yeah, that's well done. I didn't even notice that you were doing it, like as far as like you didn't have any hiccups on your machine or anything like that. So
right, and I didn't forget to do it because I don't forget to do it because I just simply hit Control Shift X when I'm looking at the current page.
That's awesome that you set that up.
That is cool.
So if you want to know anything that we are talking about or we talked about the last show and you didn't get a chance to download it yet, check out my Twitter stream. It doesn't get overwhelmed with what I had for breakfast because I'm too lazy to take pictures and post them.
And that's the reason why he doesn't post anything
for primarily, breakfast. Yes.
Cody, how about you?
Feel free to catch me on Google Plus. It's just Cody Cooper. If you haven't already, I just did earlier today, became a subscriber. It was a serial donator, I guess, to the Accessible Computing Foundation. And I will send my receipt to Steve per the agreement that we made last week. Steve did hold up his end of the bargain and register for the Saturday night party at OLF. So, yeah, it's a great cause. I mean, we talked earlier about what Jonathan is just doing in the past few weeks, the strides he's making. And with our support, it's only going to give him more time and more resources to do more, as well as other people in the foundation. So if you, like Dor said last week, if you can't afford $2, you got a big problem. So at least sign up for $2 a month. It'll be good peace of mind. It'll be going toward a great cause.
Agreed. Good stuff. Thank you, Cody. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in, watching, listening, streaming, however you're doing it. Hope you enjoyed the show. That's going to be it for Linux for the rest of us for today, tonight. See you next time.